Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
And we're back already. 087-032-32-32. That is the WhatsApp. Now, in 2011, three childhood boyos from Portland Row in the northern city of Dublin, they came together to create a new sound, Irish acoustic hip-hop. I presume that's the sound. The original Rude Boys, they had a hell of a success touring the world, supported huge acts like 50 Cent, Eminem, and the late amazing Sinead O'Connor. They're back. Good morning, Rob Birch.
Yep.
And Sean Walsh.
That's me.
And Ned Arkins.
Got it in one, Oliver.
Rob, Sean and Ned, you're very welcome. You wrapped up, what is it, 9 years now since the whole thing wrapped up. Who do I start with here?
Go on,
well,
you can take it away.
Ned,
yeah.
Go on, Ned.
I was going to say, one of you would be better with years. Yeah, it's about 8 or 9 years. In 2016 is when we packed it all in.
Yeah.
Started in 2011. Packed it in 2016 and back for 2025.
And did you kind of mean to come back, or you know, in the big way that you have?
There was always kind of those we were very happy to have been out of the music industry, I think.
Oliver, the truth is, we got a nice email into the email inbox that we hadn't checked for a while, and it was an offer to go and play the Olympia Theatre, which was out in the realms of possibility for a long time for us.
Yeah,
wasn't
we certainly
it?
Thought
we
so.
Couldn't believe that an Never offer was coming in for that there. We'd be back yeah. doing that, and we had obviously we're mates, we've been in touch all our lives, but that's it. When that question comes in, you have to say,
yeah, that kind of got us talking. Yeah. But we were kind of, the fingers were itchy. A couple
I think
of
we were yeah. we were kind of making Rob. Music, Oliver, you know, myself and Ned were kind of making music for a couple of months in the build up to this, and mm-hmm. Sean was in Canada, and we were sending things back and forth, and then obviously we kind of got Sean back involved, and we were very grateful for him to come back involved.
We didn't think we were getting him back involved.
How important he is to the overall sound of the band. But so we've been making music ever since, but the Olympia Theatre came up, as Sean said, and for us it was not a possibility in our head.
Yeah.
And then it sold out same day, and we were like, okay.
So when you put out Big Boys Don't Cry, you were sort of thinking, this is just a nice foray yeah. Back into this world that we left behind.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to go off and make money in the meantime.
Musically dipping our toe back in to see what the water's like, and the water was very warm.
Yeah. I played a clip of it at the start of the show, and I mentioned the great video. Sean, maybe you take us through the video.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, the idea was...
It's all your idea.
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah, if you want to say it like that. But the idea was to get people that we knew that have done pretty well all over, like especially from our area, you know, the likes of Emmett Brennan is in the video. He's an Olympic boxer and stuff like, just people that we knew, and we were reaching out, and it's about going through struggles mm-hmm. in the first half of the song, but the second half is about the positivity of going through them struggles and coming out the other side and showing that there is a way if you persevere or if you reach out to other people or whatever it is to make it happen. So it was a very special video to have all these people involved, you know.
Do you think that would have worked in your first round? 2012-13, we were kind of a harsher place, weren't we?
It was a harsher place, but I think the music that we were making at that time was still speaking to those kind of things.
Yeah, I think, interestingly enough, Big Boys obviously kind of gives away in the title, it kind of touches on men's mental health.
Yeah.
And the first time around, we had a song called Sunny Days, which also kind of touched on the same subject. And that, to this day, is a huge fan favourite. So we were kind of probably playing it safe, putting out Big Boys, because we knew that the OG fans would warm to it very quickly, and they did.
Yeah, but I think it's been always important for us, Oliver, to kind of make music like that, that kind of has that more hard-hitting kind of topic or things that we can really kind of get a little bit of focus on as well in society at different times. For us, it's always been important in terms of the music making process. So Big Boys was, again, only came up because me and Ned had kind of started it, and then Sean came back involved, and like I said, he really has a good idea of our sound, always has. So we were able to gel it together quite well when all three of us were in the room, and then he came with the idea of the video on it, and it kind of blew up online, you know.
Very nice, yeah. And Rob, tell us about that sound, because you were ahead of your time, weren't you? Irish hip hop.
Yeah, well, you know, I was chatting to Michael before in the lead up to the show. We were, you know, kind of ahead of it in the sense that there was a lot of kind of stigma around Irish hip hop, and
yeah.
It wasn't really kind of, you know, well known or well received in different places, and maybe, you know, certain radio
laughed at a bit.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And certain radio stations maybe didn't want to play it either. So we kind of had to do a lot of the hard yards in that sense. And look, it's not up for me to say that we kind of broke down any barriers, but
it
I do believe we
did.
Played.
We, I mean, you know,
yeah,
that
we
by
played
now.
A major part in that kind of sound, because you see it in Irish music now that there's a lot of Irish musicians that get to have them opportunities because of, bands that came before.
Rapping in Irish, that would have been amazing.
Have
worked in 2012, 2013.
Yeah,
there's a beauty to authenticity. That's the way we want to be. You know,
even just not necessarily hip hop. I'm hearing a lot of people doing big things, Fontaines D.C., Seema, that are kind of doing their own accents.
That's right. Yeah,
I think Seema does it wonderfully, where it just kind of pierces out every now and again throughout our songs, and then Fontaines are just like nail on the head, Dublin accent. Yeah. But it's almost like cool now. So it's interesting to come full circle to being kind of laughed at, like you said, which we were, to it being the in thing now to do so.
It is.
You know?
It's kind of the sludge of the internet, and globalisation hasn't quite delivered what we wanted. So it's funny that we've gone right back into, maybe we've lost something here we need to urgently get hold of again.
Absolutely.
Is that what you put it down to?
Yeah.
And what happened at the end? Why did you kind of stop touring, stop gigging? I think stop making music.
From my experience, I kind of moved to London, and I was in a different time of my life, and I was kind of pursuing my own thing, and I kind of fell away from the band a little bit. And you know, the lads obviously had their own things going on at different points as well, but there was a bit of a distance that was created in that by that act alone. So
could be hanging out together.
Yeah, because I was over there, and I kind of naturally we weren't like, I guess, like anything else, Oliver, if you're not putting in that kind of time and work, and you're not going to, you know, garner the results of it. So we kind of naturally kind of.
Is that because, Rob, you grew up in Portland Row around that area where it's kind of tight knit, and if someone moves away, then you lose the obvious connections you have to see each other a lot?
Absolutely. And of course, my head was in a completely, just speaking from my own point of view, my head was in a completely different place at that particular time. So it was just great to be we never kind of fell out or anything. We were always kind of, you know, in contact at different points.
Yeah,
it was great to reconnect with
What was your career path after that, Rob?
My career path, so I moved over to London, and I was kind of pursuing different things over there, mostly kind of writing music and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've had a number of different jobs since, Oliver, but it's kind of led me back, like you were talking about, that full circle. It kind of led me back to the lads. And
all roads lead back to music.
Yeah, all roads lead back. And yeah, it's just, like I said, great to be able to reconnect with the music.
The North Star kind of called you back.
Yeah. The North Strand.
The North Strand.
And Ned, what were you up to?
I'd done an array of things. So when the band originally finished, I went on to kind of working on movie sets, building movie sets.
Really?
Yeah, that was really cool. I done a stint on the docks, taking cargo on and off ships. I now work for the tech overlords. we won't talk too much about that. But similar to Rob.
How'd you go from the docks to a tech company? Engineering or something?
The docks was during COVID.
Yeah.
And a kind of a weird part of my, I don't even, it's
none
like
of
a,
us wanted to talk
it's
about
like
it.
A bad dream. No, like, shout out to all the lads in the docks, they work hard down there, but was not for me. And I
you
respectfully
did,
hope to
you
never
did jobs to pay the bills.
Yeah,
are you happy
much.
With whatever career you're doing now?
Loving what I'm doing now. Yeah, oh, it's a lot more comfortable to sit in an office with, you know, central heat, and then the heaviest thing I lift day to day is a laptop, which is a huge difference.
But are you kind of linked into all these meetings online as well? Is that your life, meeting?
We kind of grew up kind of, you know, on video calls and all that, so it's pretty used to it. And before the band kicked off, I would have gone to college and done a business degree, so something to fall back on there.
You went back to that?
No. That was just stored away in case the band ever went.
That's what you're using in your job now, obviously, the business.
Yes, well, it helps,
And you have time to do the band?
Yeah, so we kind of approach the band nowadays as a hobby. It's not a full-time thing. It'd be great to be in a position to make it a full-time thing, but at the moment it's really a hobby. So any evenings we have free, most weekends we're either doing content or rehearsing or in the studio making music. And it's just something nice to have out of the, you know, everyday 9 to 5.
Very fulfilling, I'd say.
Absolutely, yeah. It's certainly something, I think I speak for all three of the lads, it's something I look forward to most weeks. We'll come over, I've got a little studio set up out in my back garden.
Yeah.
And we'll come and just jam, and it's just nice to get away from the mundaneness of life, you know, and just go back to doing what we love.
I think one of the most important things as well, Oliver, for us, I think, and again, just speaking for myself, but I think the lads would feel the same way, is that it's nice to have no expectations around things when it comes to the music. Like, we had so much success when we were around the first time that it's inevitable that expectation is going to creep in, and then you know, there's going to be things that don't quite happen the way you want them to happen. But now we're just in the studio making music for what it is, with no with no expectation of whether or not it's going to do this or do that. It's,
you're basking now.
Yeah basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and enjoying it.
Sean, what were you up to?
Well, I shipped off like a lot of the babies of the recession. I went over to Toronto. I was over there for 6 years, living in downtown Toronto, and working again in corporate business.
And you absolutely loved it.
I absolutely despised every second of. And listen, I know there's probably a lot of people sitting in an office right now in the same position. It's meetings about meetings, emails about emails. I hated every minute of it. And as soon as the opportunity got to come back into music and doing something that I love, I said, you know what? These opportunities don't come very often for lads like where we're from. So I took that and I came back to Ireland, and that set me on a completely different path that I wasn't expecting.
Did the experience of at least being in a different city as a young fella, did that not make up for the fact that you didn't like the job so much?
Like a lot of people, it's great being away. It's great having that independence. There's like completely empathise with everyone going through the housing crisis and struggling to have their own place. Having that independence is very important for a young adult, and I think a lot of people are missing that right now. Mm-hmm. So that was brilliant. But you're also away from everything you know, everything you love, and everyone you want to be around. So there's the balance of that. It's tough because you have moments where, like for me, looking at the CN Tower, like, what am I doing here? How do I have an apartment so close to this thing? But then on the flip side, it's like my family, my mum, my dad, everyone is at home.
You're a bit empty. It's
like a seesaw, I suppose.
You did go a few years, did you, in Toronto?
So I was 6 years over there, yeah. Really? So, yeah, the lifestyle was good, but again.
Pretty much Canadian now, are you?
Well, I have my citizenship if I ever want to go back for a Tim Hortons.
It really
or whatever.
Got in his accent, didn't it?
Well, yeah, I suppose I held on to that for dear life, Oliver. They weren't going to take that away from me. Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, that's how it was for me. I enjoyed it, but I prefer being home.
And you have a job now?
I'm currently working as a special needs assistant in primary school. So for kids with special needs, autism, and also for kids with severe emotional and behavioural needs as well. Because, well, I have the chance to say it right now. We're talking about the Golden Mile on Portland Row and Troy Parrott and Barry Keoghan and all these people. Yeah. But the reality of our area is, Oliver, there's 20% of kids living in poverty right now. These kids won't have food on their table at Christmas. They won't have presents. They won't have all this. So I suppose it was important for me to go back in and help the community that I'm from.
Absolutely.
I'm not a martyr. I'm not doing this. I was just doing it as it was important for me to realise we're talking about tech companies in our area getting tax breaks. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Dublin City Council are going to vote on like rent increases for social housing. So it was important for me to get back in and try and help on the ground for these kids.
Do you see it every day?
Every day. I'm working with kids every day who, some of them don't even have jackets coming to school. You know what I mean? That's what we're dealing with. We're talking, cameras come in and go into our area and they go, oh, it's brilliant. Troy Parrott scored a hat-trick. But the reality of living there is very, very different than the camera coming in once every year when Kelly Harrington gets a gold medal. These kids have to work very, very hard to get to these positions. So it was important for me to go back in and do something in there and help.
Well said.
And like, I hope more people can do that, because we're losing sense of community for capitalism, and it's really tough right now.
Thank God for people like you doing those jobs.
Like I said, I'm not a martyr, Oliver, and the teachers don't get paid enough. Special needs assistants don't
get
paid enough.
It's a vocational job though,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Yeah, doing it because there's a reason to do it, and I completely empathise with a lot of the people that are just struggling to get through, especially teachers. You've got teachers coming up from the countryside who have to live in houses with 6-7 other people, and they're teaching the youth and they haven't even got their own independence. It's really, really tough right now at the moment.
Do you mean housing?
Exactly.
House sharing.
When they leave a day of working with kids in the most vulnerable positions, they have to go home and they have to share a kitchen with another person. They can't even make a meal. They have to sit around. They can't even just de-stress. Mm. So it's a really
tough... In
such
a wealthy society.
Exactly. And such, like I said, we live in the shadow of the IFSC. You know, that this is like the financial capital of Europe. Yeah.
You have the right amount of anger though, don't you?
I can get angry. I want to be bitter.
But you're positive about your job, aren't you?
I'm very positive. I'm very positive about it, Oliver, because the kids I work with every day are special. Gorgeous, gorgeous human beings. And they need to be nurtured and told... Us growing up, personally, we were always told we're from a disadvantaged area. You're not going to do this, you're not going to do that. You're told every day And these kids need to be told it's not the case, that there is a future for these kids and they can go on and do better things. And they need more role models that aren't trying to buy Ferraris on Instagram or whatever it is. They need people to steer them in the right ways, because there's the socio-economic problems in our area as well, between drugs and violence and everything else, is rife to see. But like I said, the cameras roll in and they show the gold medal or the hat-trick or the Hollywood
actor. Flying, to be honest.
You would think, exactly, because it's two and a half grand to get a one-bedroom apartment in our area. That doesn't make any sense to me. That doesn't make any sense.
Obviously,
you know?
The role models are there, the people you mentioned, like Barry, Troy and Kelly, but the investment needs to come in.
Exactly, the likes of the Googles, the Facebooks, they don't invest in our area. They take the benefits of getting the tax breaks in our area, but we don't have the Google excellence hub of, like, I don't know, scholarships or whatever it is. We've nothing. So that's,
Rob, you
that's
work in public service as well, I think.
Yeah, I work in the HSE. So that's been an amazing kind of opportunity for myself. I was working in tech recruitment with Sean, believe it or not. So
it's only a matter of time, Ned.
And then I got the opportunity to join the HSE. So yeah, it's been a great experience. I really, really love. And again, it's just something that you can kind of work towards, you know, in the grand scheme of helping people. And
I don't know what you do. I don't know if you're allowed to tell us.
I work more so in the HR and recruitment the HSE. There's a lot around recruitment. Big talk around recruitment in the health service, always.
An organisation that gets constant bad headlines, but people are very proud to work there.
Absolutely. There's amazing people that work there, Oliver, and an amazing work goes on behind the scenes that obviously, look, Sean spoke about different dynamics of society and stuff like that. Not everybody sees what happens behind the scenes in some of these places, but obviously, you know, more needs to be done. That's for sure. More needs to be done across the board. So I think the HSE is a wonderful place to work myself personally. But like I said before, I had a lot of different jobs. I actually worked on the docks as well before.
You're starting to see a tease there.
So, you know,
there's a PR person in Dublin Port going, call it the porch. Don't be talking about the docks. These are young, just to remind people, these are young lads still. You know, it's like the 19th century, watching the famine ships disappearing. Come here, it's fascinating just that path you've gone from music jobs and hopefully full-time back into music maybe one day. Yeah. But tell us about the success in the before times, because it was kind of remarkable and very fast. Were your heads in the right place, Ned, for it?
I don't think anyone's heads could be fully in the right place. I think what did kind of stand to us and helped us massively was we never, you know, wanted to pursue fame and fortune and all that. Would be as cliche as it sounds, we just wanted to make music. So when those things came, we just rolled with it, you know. But we weren't, I see a lot of people in the industry now, I'll be making music with other people in the industry, and they've got their eye on the fame side of it, and they want the followers on TikTok, and one part of me is saying you're doing it all wrong, and the other part of me is saying, like, you're just bringing, like, you're welcoming in unnecessary stress there, and it's something that we could not relate to. There was never, you know, when the record labels came and the sellout shows came and all, it wasn't something we celebrated. I mean, it was great for them things to come, but it was just part of the job, you know. It wasn't something we strive towards.
You didn't need it.
We didn't need it. It did help, and don't get me wrong, when it came, it was fantastic. We had some great times. But I think going into the industry nowadays and not having these high demands that so many do, like, I see kids putting out songs and they get 3,000 views and they're like, oh, well, that's my career over in music. I'm like, no.
You have to keep plugging on.
Yeah, you have a lot more to do. It's sad to say, but that's kind of the situation we're in now with kids. It's kind of go viral off your first song. And I'm sitting down and I'm saying, no, that's not how it works, but that's how it worked for you. I'm saying, yeah, but that's kind of it's unusual in the industry for that to happen. But, you know, put the work in and good things will come. Reap the rewards.
Look, I think it brings me back to that kind of expectation thing, Oliver. Like, you know, as soon as you start having success, it's going to bring that expectation. And what happened to us, you know, at the first time around, we had this great success. You know, we went on an amazing tour with The Script. We did amazing gigs and you know, we had multi-platinum selling albums and stuff like that. And it's success can be that kind of bad thing at times as well, because you know, it's hard to sustain over a period of time, and maybe if you're not putting the work in, it certainly won't sustain either. And what social media does today is has that ability to give people really quick success, and then maybe the next video won't go viral, or the video after that won't go viral,
and they panic and they do themselves down.
Yeah, so we're at that mindset now with a little bit being a little bit older, a little bit wiser. It's not something that we're looking to do. It's not something that we, you know, if it happens, great. If the music reaches people and it makes a difference in their lives, that's what we want.
So really, it's art first, really.
Yeah, know, really. That's what I think. I think if as long as you put that, and Sean said it to me a few weeks ago, as long as you put that real solid effort into what you're doing, and you can stand over what you're doing, I think it's important for us to connect with that part. That once we do that, then that's our job's done. Really, you know.
Absolutely.
Some great days supporting Sinead O'Connor.
Sinead, yeah, God rest her.
We had a song with Sinead, didn't we, Ned?
Yeah, we made some music. Long story, you'll probably have to get me on a podcast or something. It didn't come out, but we actually followed up right then. She was like, lads, like, I totally got screwed over there. I thought that song was on the album. But just to be in, like, making music with Sinead O'Connor, we've met some amazing people in the Irish music scene, and not many of them can say they've sat down and wrote music with Sinead. We also support Sinead, and she picked us up online a lot, which was great. We've done some amazing things. It was actually after the band finished that we could really sit down and really digest, like, the type, like, having Hozier was their opening support.
He was supporting,
you know, Grammy nominated Hozier was their support slot, the 200 people in a pub in Clondalkin.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know,
that is crazy.
You couldn't make it up. And then, you know, all the legends, the U2 lads, Aslan. Who else was that?
You name it.
There was a period of time there where it was just like lots of different gigs that we were doing. Like, we would show up to the opening of an envelope. Yeah. Maybe, you know, if there was a gig going, we were probably going to be at it, you know. So
I will say honourable mention to the Script lads who went above and beyond for us in their career. They couldn't have done enough for us, from, you know, making music, touring the world.
Yeah,
so rest in peace to Mark Sheen.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Sean, there's loads of messages asking you to go into politics after your speech there. You shake things up a bit.
As if Dublin Central needs more of a shake up.
There is a by-election coming up, which you might consider.
I don't know. The politics game is a dirty game.
Stay where you are for a moment, because we're going to get an ad break out of the way. We're going to have some music from the lads, the original Root Boys. Stay with us. And you're very welcome back, Sean, Neddy, or Ned. We should really, it's Ned nowadays, isn't it?
See.
Yeah, and Rob from the original Rude Boys is still with us. Wow, wow, wow. So well said, Sean, from the SNA of the North Inner City. I hear you. I can relate. Thanks for highlighting this. That's from S, we'll say. It sounds like a fellow SNA. And lots of people asking about the names. Listen, we'll do some music.
Yes.
This is the one that started it all, is it, Nate?
This is the one. And just before we do on the subject of music, because I got noise on me, we're doing a show on the 28th of December in the Academy. So if you want to hear said music, come on down.
Lovely.
I'm seeing stars in my eyes, I can let them go. Every day I'm caught daydreaming out the damn window. I wanna make it big someday, see my name in light.
So I'm ripping up these lyrics and drinking all these spirits, watch me flames ignite. Yeah, you see him busking on Grafton Street. People never took a notice, just pass and see. But y'all means he wasn't anything great. As the months went on, he started playing it straight. A broken guitar, no warrior voice, no Frank Sinatra. This kid was nice, melodies with emotion. He poured the milk, not for the fame he'd explain, but for food in his mouth. He'd open up with his songs, as in the place to call home with knows music is where he belongs. World fades away, he embraces here. Praise a boy a day, gets a taste of fear. A rare talent nowadays in a greedy town. Came a fella that amazed with a needed sound. He'd never compromise. See, this fella had the flame in his stomach and the stars in his eyes.
I'm seeing stars in my eyes, I can let them go. Every day I'm caught daydreaming at the damn window. I wanna make it big someday, see my name in light.
So I'm ripping up these lyrics and drinking on these spirits, watch me flames ignite. Yeah, And it was back when the knights flew. Who'd have thought nowadays they'd even like you? Came from nothing, made a name in the scene. Now you're quoting Biggie Smalls like it was all a dream. Flashbacks of the time spent learning your craft. People laughed as your songs played out in the gaff. Now they're hanging on your every line. About time they took notice and assuring to this kid in this point. Now we're knocking back points, hoping life improves. Coping, no, you should choose, you weren't born to lose. See, this fellow was the best. He'd have you hooked on every word while singing his worries off his chest. He'd just sing old songs of his life. Give him a moment of your time. He'd show you what it's like. Maybe then he'd realise that this fella has more than just a passion and the stars in his
eyes. I'm seeing stars in my eyes. I can let them go. Every day I'm caught daydreaming at the damn window. I wanna make it big someday. See my name in light.
So I'm ripping up these lyrics and drinking on these spirituals. Me flames ignite.
I wanna make it big someday. See my name in light.
So I'm ripping up these lyrics and drinking on these spirituals. Me flames ignite. Yeah.
Thanks a million, lads. Still have it. You still have it. Rob Birch on guitar, Sean Walsh on ukulele, and The Fury there as well, and Ned Arkins on vocals. Thanks a million. And that gig is in the Academy. The Original Rude Boys, live in the Academy on the 28th of December. Ticketmaster has all the details. Back after these with the Vision Boards.